Hello, everybody. The following is a recorded discussion of the Daily Maxims and More for December 28, 2010. In this recording, we discussed fictions, legal fictions, and fictions of law.
Quitty. Did you notice it says, derogated from under the pretense of doing equity? It's the equitable thing to do. We're going to, and it's going to be just like a person, and it can be sued. It can have a bank account, just like a real human. It can have a name, just like a human.
Yep. Okay.
Okay?
That's a very good example. That's a very good example. But
well, that's where it came from, actually.
Yes. What bothers me is the lack of conscience.
Well, because this is the fallen state of man. I mean, Christians and biblical people understand that man lives in a fallen state. And unless he makes an overt choice to go the other way, he is a fallen man. And it's the one thing that he does. It's the kind of solution that occurs to him.
And but isn't it time, we're studying these maxims as people within the Republic. And yes, it's a good thing for us to study this, but I think since this topic has come up, I've been rather neutral on the subject, but this topic has really struck a chord with me in the wrong direction, because corporations are at the point now where they can actually destroy civilization. They're well on their way to doing that. How much more mercury do people have to tolerate and fluoride in food before we become idiots and incapable of surviving any longer? There's a point where a corporation is put into effect in order to make people bulletproof, where they become the gods over everybody because they can use the corporation to kill off everybody or to control anything they want to control. And I feel the Republic has got to look at this in a totally different way and restructure corporations with a conscience.
Well, that sounds like a very good project. Hello? Okay. But let me before we go down that path, let me just go through a couple more things here. Their purpose was not anything fancy or exotic. It was limited liability. We just don't want, if something goes wrong, we'll do our best to not have anything go wrong, but if it goes wrong, they can't touch my private property. My family's house, my family car, all of those things are protected. Now you can take everything that the corporation has in a lawsuit, but the three of us would have our own personal property protected. Therefore, we would have limited liability. Well, under the common law, that would not be true.
I'm not following that argument. Under common law, that would not be true.
Well, do you have limited liability under common law?
No.
If you damage somebody?
Oh, I see a point. It's a good question you asked. Well, so really there is a more wholesome way of looking at legalities of a corporation under common law. So how would this work under common law?
It would be the same as if it were a partnership. We had partnerships, and all the partners were liable. And it was when people began to work with lawyers and scheme these things and realize that all they had to do was get the legislatures to pass it in their legislature making it legal to have this thing that was not alive treated as alive. And those that objected to it say, look, that's a fiction. That's not true. However, you're making it possible that which is impossible, which this is addressing here. Therefore, is a fact which is known to be contrary to truth. So we were creating things called legal fictions that were corporations. That is the classic one. It's the primary one. Legal fictions. Things that, now I'll give you another legal fiction. The Federal Reserve note is money. Okay?
Yes.
If it were not for the legislature in HCR 192 saying it was, it would not be. Legal tender is anything that the legislature says is valid for the discharge of debt. You can, it could be five black stones, but the legislature would have to make it legal. Now, how do they make it legal? What is the one thing, and this is the subtlety that really slips past, because you always think in terms of the debtor. What it's saying is, creditor, if some guy walks in here with these legal tender, you can't say that's real money. That's a note. You are obligated to accept it and discharge the debt. So the burden is on the creditor to accept it. The legal tender laws order the creditors to accept it. They don't order the debtor to use them. But when that's all you have that's available, that's the reason for ordering the creditor to accept them. Too heavy? Too fast?
Let me make a comment. Let me make a comment, if I may. One of the things that I've just understood now is the wisdom that our forefathers had in saying that no elected official would be an attorney, a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew what they could end up doing, which would be to create law to the detriment of everybody else but them. And when it says fictions of law owe their origin to the legislative usurpations of the bench, I think of how many times in my lifetime the Supreme Court has come out and made a declaration based on commercial law, i.e. fiction, and people, through their ignorance, said, okay.
Joe, be careful. Commercial law is not the fiction.
Okay, well, no. Okay, commercial law may not be a fiction, but when the judges establish law, they establish precedent, they establish everything based on something that is not law.
Well, previous
findings that the Supreme Court has repeated evidences of the Supreme Court taking a past decision that was unconstitutional, erroneous, with regard to the intent of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and they establish it, and then about the fourth time they refer to it, everybody says, oh, well, that's the way it is. And I think that goes along with this right here.
Well, now I'm going to, you give me an opportunity to teach you something. Do you think that the Supreme Court does anything that's illegal?
Oh, wow.
No, not that it's illegal, but it's unconstitutional. There's a difference.
Well, no way. What has unconstitutional got to do with equity in a corporation?
That's true. Good point. So they've established a separate arena in which to operate.
Now you know why they don't want lawyers.
Yep.
Because it gives them remedies or positions that here they are. No, they never do anything. It's all corporate commercial law. Everything that's done, and it's by agreement. By agreement. Even the guy standing there, huh?
But not agreement with the people. It's agreement among themselves.
The individuals. And now I'm going to really blow you away. Remember, it says consent of the governed. I've covered this with you a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how it's in the consent of the government? How can you get the consent of the government? It didn't say 51% of the governed. Did it?
No.
So how do they get the consent of the governed? What's knowingly, willingly, and intentionally?
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Yep. Knowingly, willingly.
And intentionally, consenting to enter into an agreement.
Right.
Now, in that arena, there is no public law. It's all private law. One-on-one. And basically, there's nothing to prevent them from making one deal with you and a different deal with Will.
Okay.
They'll say, well, look, I only had to come up with 30% of the money on my taxes. But it's one-on-one. Considering. And so, that's why when you look at Supreme Court cases, you need to see if they're sui generis or sui juris.
Define those terms.
Sui juris is really lawful doctrine, okay, for all. The law is for all, equal protection under the law. Sui generis says it is derived from the word Genesis. It is saying that this is a one only situation. I've often wanted to try to find in the record where we could discern whether Roe versus Wade was sui generis or sui juris.
Yes.
If it was only applied to Roe and Wade, there is no such thing as a lawful abortion. It was only for those people. Okay? Now, through the legal manipulations that are, for the most part, proper, but by coming into the court and saying, well, look, I am going to join that as precedent. My mentor told me, he said, now listen, if anybody says that's precedent, say, I was not a party to the lawsuit.
Hmm.
But, no, I'm not finished. That's not enough. I'm not a party to that lawsuit. I want to agree to it, and I don't agree with it. I do not give it my consent. Now, if you allow someone to bring it up and present it as precedent, by acquiescence, you make it true.
So you must object.
You must, always. But you need to know that that's the case. They don't teach that. They don't teach it that it's like just a presumption that can be rebutted. But what if it's a sui juris case? If it's a sui juris case, then it does apply. So it would be worth it to know.
How do we find that out?
Well, it's Longhorn. But this is the area that is the formal playing field, is fiction and the sui generis, sui juris arena, in which is the pure province of an attorney. And as you can see, when dealing with legislators to get the legality, see, it is illegal for you to be compelled to enter into a contract. Especially one with a legal fiction. So how can the federal government order you to buy health insurance from a corporation? I hear no comments.
Well, they have to pass the law, which gives them legal precedent.
But they don't have
the house court.
You cannot order somebody to enter into a contract.
Yes.
Understand, okay. What is duress?
Yep.
What is...
going against your will.
That's right.
I hear a baby.
Okay, just a second.
But do you see where, you know, that ordering people to enter into an agreement. Now, let's go a little step further. Is he back? Or is he still taking care of his mom?
Yeah, I just took care of it. Thank you. I have a 3-year-old that I
Is that the age of your mind?
I'll leave that alone.
Anyway, as it turns out, you can... If I carry this far enough, can you agree to agree?
Yes.
Yes.
You think so?
What well, we can, now, wait a minute. What do you mean? Agree to what?
Can you agree in a contract to that you will agree 5 years from now?
Oh. No.
No, well, because...
That's a tough question. That's a tough question because I don't know where you're going with the question, so I'm hesitant to answer.
Well, it has to do with the consent, the legal fiction, dealing with the way you do things. If you sign a contract for a mortgage and you agree that they can change it to some terms that you don't even know about in the future by virtue of saying, but you agree. You agreed to agree to whatever we do.
Okay.
What if they agree excuse me, go ahead.
Some people would have agreed to that, and there are mortgages that are just like that, which would be the answer to your question. Can you agree to agree?
That's why. Under the law, no. Only if you're in some sort of legal province where, or legal domain, where you don't have rights anymore, such as a slave.
Well, you know, it amazes me that your capacity to explain this stuff. From what I've just heard you say, dear friend, the fact that Congress approved that health care bill was not so much to establish, as I look at it now, it was not so much to establish what they consider to be the virtues compared to the liabilities of it, but rather to find out just how far gone our civilization is, just how much more wool can they pull over our eyes that they're holding in abeyance. I think it was a test, not a real health care law, because it has taken the courts about 3 or 4 months to get up and do something about it. I mean, the states.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont has voted against it totally, 100%.
Well, the states were, the representatives in the states are still representatives of subsidiary corporations who are in, the word I keep wanting to use is collusion, but I'm reluctant to say it that way.
They're complicit.
And even, you know, that because they're objecting. They're wanting to go back to the constitutional powers that they gave up. They now realize when. The one state that has managed to do a great job all the way through is Virginia. Virginia has the doctrine of interposition well established from the very first day that they were in the Union, in which they reserved the right to declare laws passed by the legislature of the Congress of the United States that would not apply in Virginia.
Wow.
And it's called the Doctrine of Interposition. And people addressed it, and they are the ones that have implemented it and have the best resource on understanding it. And Starr is now at Baylor, and he wrote another paper, which I'm trying to think of the word. It's the doctrine of superposition or something that says, no, it's from the federal, you got to do it. But that's only if you're in that subservient position. If you are the original republic, no. So the doctrine of interposition is available. But the first estate has the ability to declare it bad anyway. So we do have the remedies if we know how to make them work. And it's but the people don't know. And so the media still is to address it as if, okay, they cannot compel you to go get a contract. If you knew that, you could prevent it. And see, that's why driving license is such a... We keep always saying, well, no, you can't compel us. You cannot order someone to go enter into an agreement. They must do it knowingly and willingly. Well, then they say, well, if you want to drive a car, no, But we've got a long way to go, you guys, to get this education back.
Yep.
Where truth is, fiction of law does not exist. How about that? The corporation is debt. In the fiction of law, there is always equity. A legal fiction is always consistent with equity, meaning. How did that happen? Chuck, you were made the presenter some way. Anyway, I just got a little note. Chuck is the presenter. You're the presenter. Show my screen. Okay. I'm back. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
In the fiction of law, there's always equity. In other words, there can be no fiction of law occur unless there's agreement. There's a contract between you. The legislature. Okay. In the fiction of law, there is always equity. This is a subtle way from keeping you from learning. A legal fiction is always consistent with equity. The only way a fiction can prevail is if we've agreed to let it. Follow?
Yep.
Fictions arise from the law, not law from the fictions. It's another way. Fiction of law is wrongful if it works loss or injury to anyone. Now, this is where they're trying to bring in the overriding superposition of the maxim of common law. Well, limited liability. What if some of the corporation does something that's damaging and there's nothing there to compensate the other people?
Now, is that where they're... Okay, I was just wondering, is that where they're trying to give all these exceptions now and waivers?
No, that's strictly agreements. Well, we have private law number 70, something called Obamacare here. And in your case, one-on-one, we'll get you to grant you the waiver.
Yep.
It is not public law. It's private law, one-on-one stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, they can make whatever decision they want to their friends, which they do all the time.
If they do that to enough people, it quells the dissent. Among those who are knowledgeable and those who are not, go along willingly, sign pieces of paper whereby they agree or acquiesce directly.
You learned anything, are you?
Yes, sir, I am.
You see this CLM?
And the yes, number, sir.
Fiction is a poor ground for changing substantial rights. Meaning, you can't win in the long run if someone knows what they're doing. So the only way it can be allowed to prevail is by what? Not educating.
Yeah. Non-disclosure, which violates the contract.
How about that?
Okay. Okay. Fiction arises from the law.
Begin to get your hope back there, Will?
Well, a little. But 45G gave me some hope that common law will prevail ultimately, but we have a lot of laws to change that are taking advantage of people. It's going to take decades to do that.
Yep.
Well, it took decades to get it where it is.
Yeah.
And remember that it always fascinated me that the people were not in a financial position to defend themselves.
Yes. That's what
they
were
tied up
now.
Taking care of their necessities. Huh?
Well, that idea you just brought up is what I don't like about contract law, because there's no Article III protection in it. The courts even have decided that there are some contracts people have mistakenly entered into that have to be voided. But other than that, there's still, other than what they've rendered decisions on, there are still hundreds of other laws and contracts. I should say there are hundreds of other contracts that people are still being taken advantage of because there's no Article III supervision over all of this.
Well, now wait. What does the Constitution say about the powers of the governments with regard to contracts?
I'm getting my book out. I can find it.
They shall make no law.
No law, correct. That's right.
They shall make no law that intervenes or interferes with the terms and conditions of contracts.
Yes, that's a lawyer's concept.
No, was the founder's concept.
Well, yes, but the point I'm trying to make is that there's no innate morality. Because of that principle you just brought up, there's no innate morality in government.
No.
Government can allow people to make contractual relationships that are against their best interests.
No way.
If they don't have the education to recognize it.
Mr. Progressive.
There needs to be some kind of a supervision.
See, you know that. You're going to tell them which contracts they should and should not enter?
No, I'm not. But people like yourself who...
Who do you think has the knowledge to know that?
Lawyers with consciences, not attorneys.
Well, what they're saying is it will just not be allowed for anyone to do that. Now, you can't enter into a contract to break the law. For example, commit murder. But people are free to choose.
Yes. But you have to have the education to be really free.
No. That is not a requirement, but they should be. Now,
yes, that's the point.
What has happened have been... Now, wait. You are going to use the fact that they've been deceived to create a control system.
Well, I realize that that's a dangerous statement for me to make. I'm just looking for a government that is willing to morally have a way of protecting the public a little more than the flat, cold, hard way that part of our Constitution is written.
It's not the Constitution that's hurting us. It's their corporation. It's the corporation that's doing the damage, not the Constitution.
Okay, so then I'm back to square one again. We need truth in corporations.
Back to the contracts. Yes. The corporation is not acting constitutionally. And yes, we fully expect the people who are the representatives to be good spirits and righteous.
Yes.
Now, when the greedy get into a position where they can take advantage of it and move it, there is no substitute to being informed. But I do not see a system, as soon as you say, we will determine we will set up an office to determine which contracts are good and which contracts are valid. Guess what happens eventually?
Yes, I appreciate that statement. But what I'm getting at is the reason we've had a crushing landslide of liberalism is because what the corporations have done have more or less justified their demanding to be taken care of and looked after by government.
Do you think that was by design?
It could have been. It was an oversight, let's put it that way.
Well, my guess is
Common law needs to be protected by those who are able to fully understand why it has so much virtue in it. 1848,
the state of New York decided to merge equity and common law. What do you think their motive was? To advance the interests of common law?
No. I think they were looking for votes for whatever they wanted to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. They wanted the judge to be the power. To even abrogate jury verdicts.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm getting off course here a little from your point. It is valid the way you responded, given, and your reaction was, essentially righteous indignation.
Yes, very true.
And you must understand that the jurists say, no, 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 no. Let them be free. We must understand.
Yes. Very honorable, but with freedom comes real education.
Responsibility.
And our country has degenerated because we don't have real education. Like you said, when it got to the point where the judges were making law, we were lost. It just needed a couple more decades to go downhill.
Well, it's pretty bad what has happened, and yet we still have the highest standard of living on Earth.
That's because we had so much to begin with.
How do you measure this?
I'd like to see the Republic not just rubber stamp the best of the United States, but look at everything very critically and look at it through the eyes of these maxims and look at it theoretically through these maxims to see how we can better protect the person from the corporation, from those who don't care what they do.
Now, I'm telling you, it was set up where the representatives had a duty to serve. They could not exceed the powers that were granted to them in the Constitution. There were things put in place.
I honor that.
There were things put in place to correct that. The only way it fails is when people forget to do their duty to serve.
Yes. Very clear.
So the only requirement in a new republic is to use the remedies that are available already to make certain people perform their duties to serve.
Okay.
It was a detriment. The people really knew what they were doing.
Yes, I see that now. I didn't see it before, but I see it now.
Okay. And it's when they do, there's been an incident lately where they used one of those as a remedy, and because of their somewhat weak position on the education side, created more of a problem than they helped. So they got confused. There's a section of the law in the Constitution that says each house has the ability to kick members out. If somebody bad in the House of Representatives gets from Texas gets kicked out, it didn't kick the senators out. And it took a 2/3 vote of the House. Okay? And then the governor would appoint somebody to go back in there. The people still have a right to be represented. And it is a very significant counterbalance system here. And it should be used, and the criteria should be duty to serve.
Yes, I see that. Well, that would be beautiful. We could just revitalize that.
Yep. It's very simple. And even, they were servants of the people. Now, I've been reading something that Napolitano put out I don't want to make it sound like it was bad. What was done is somebody wrote a book, and he was defining what had taken place since back early 90s. And you keep hearing these things about martial law, martial law, martial law. And it's not true. The gold fringe is UCC, commercial law. So, here we go. We have some guy who's in the Clinton administration who has almost made it his life work to redefine one word in the definition part of the presidency to mean it's whatever he defines it to be. It's what the meaning, it's what the definition of the word is. And he has written a 690-page book, and put it out there justifying the president being the single power in the government when it wasn't intended at all. And so
it wasn't. I was just reading that.
And the people in the government have, in whose interest it is to advance that, for example, if you're totalitarian or socialistic, in which the government must own everything, then you get an overextension and a change in the mindsets that treat that. And you get people stepping forth doing things that the Constitution would not have found, but the corporation can. So the book, you must discern that, well, this book is correct for the corporation, but that's not the de jure government.
Correct.
Yeah. You and your corporation, you can't go into the corporation and argue against it. But you can say, but it's not the de jure government. Oh. Many a valid argument is followed from a false premise. So the whole idea that we talk about some of these things, you must distinguish where you're standing. My criticism is of the corporation. And it's only that. I can't treat it like a constitutional government run amok. The constitutional government was empty, uninhabited.
It was for much too long.
Yes, for much too long.
That's what happens when the military is given the power to cram stuff down the people's throats like they did to the South, and force them to accept 14th Amendment citizenship and everything that went with it. We must learn the lesson from that, never to let that happen again. Never give that much power to the military again.
Well, it was... We ought to have James Heyman on here. He can tell you some stories.
Yeah.
About the legislatures here in Austin, no less. But, how's this been, gentlemen?
It's been excellent.
Good. I have an easy question for you. Is there some kind of, is there a novel written that parallels these maxims of the law? In other words, the purpose of the novel will be to explain and give examples of how all this fits together, or different understandings, in-depth understandings of what it means.
No, I think there's probably good examples, like... And I haven't seen the movie. Amistad, where John Adams was the attorney. Did you know that John Adams defended the captain in charge of the...
Yes, I saw that movie. British.
One where... What, Amistad or the other one?
Well, that, I thought that was Samuel Adams in Amistad.
Well, it might have been. Well, who defended
John Adams defended
the captain at Concord? Or
John
the
Adams.
Boston Massacre?
Yeah, John Adams, who later became president.
Yes.
But his son defended those Africans, yes.
So John, though, the Boston Massacre... John defended the captain in charge of the British soldiers that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some common law. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question. I think if you pay attention to the movies from the 30s, you'll see great examples.
You're very right.
I think
I did
if
that
you
just a month ago.
Visualize, if you will, an old movie, and it's in a commercial establishment, a business, and they show this room in which there's like chairs against the wall, and then there's a bar, like a railing across the middle of the room, and like in a courtroom.
Yes.
And outside the bar towards the door is public, but it says private, no admittance, on the other side of the bar. So here's one room that's divided down the middle, public and private. And it was honored. You didn't step across it unless invited. Or you trespass. Well, my son is here, so I'm going to have to get
off. Thank you for your help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your
Chuck, you want to get back on?